is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
This message is brought to you by the media ministry of RCCG Solid Rock Phoenix, Glendale, Arizona. The Bible says, "The entrance of God's word giveth light and understanding to the simple." We pray that you will receive divine light and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
John chapter 3, from verse 1 to 8. As I continue with the second part of the message titled, "The Christ-Centered Life." Father, let the word of my mouth, the meditation of the hearts of your people, be acceptable before you. That after I have preached the word, I will not be a castaway from your presence. Your people will be blessed, and your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Now put those hands together for Jesus. John chapter 3, as I continue on the message titled, "The Christ-Centered Life." There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with thee." May God continue to be with you. Amen. I say, may the Lord continue to be with you. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Verse 5. Let's read together, 1, 2, go. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Verse 7. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must born again." Ye must be born again. Don't forget, Jesus was talking to the Jews who religiously believe that they own God and they are the only people that have the right to be called the children of God. And Jesus was redirecting their theology and is saying to them, your natural birth, remember, does not determine your destination. You may be born in a palace, and yet you become a pauper. Ask the prodigal son in a strange land. So last week we identified two different births, the natural birth and the spiritual birth. For any man to see God, you must go through the true two births. You cannot be spiritually born until you are naturally born. Hallelujah. And the fact that you are naturally born does not automatically translate to being spiritually born. Hallelujah. For the first one, you have no choice. Remember, when God sent you to this world, he saw my father's house there. How come he sent you to Mba's house? It's his choice. You don't know. You don't have a say in where you are going to be posted. It determines the posting. He saw all families on earth. And he deemed my father and my mother the only right people that can nurture my destiny. They didn't need to be in Buckingham Palace. Hallelujah. They didn't need to be in the White House. But for the assignment I carry, God did a scan all over the world. And he looked at which man and woman have the right temperament and the right capacity to raise this young man to fulfill destiny. And he went to a remote village in Oboku local government. Somebody shout hallelujah. And he said, yes, you and you, you will be the one that will bring this young man to the world. I had no say. Possibly if I'd been given a choice, I would have chosen Buckingham Palace. So that the day I was getting married, the whole world would be my spectators. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I didn't have a choice on that. But the second birth, I have a choice. Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If any man shall open unto me, I will come in and I will sup with him. And he will sup with me if he will open. I had no say whether my mom will conceive me or not. That was between her, my dad, and God. But on this second verse, Reverend Robin, he presented a choice before me. Lema no kaske, lema danza. He said, choose life that you may live. And I chose life. And I am living. Hallelujah. So the spiritual birth is a program that has been designed from heaven. But guess what? It is still a matter of choice. God will not compel you to be born again. Hallelujah. He has presented a choice before you. Life or death. Blessing or cursing. But he said, I would rather you choose life. That you may live. Can you just give him a wave of prayer? Thank you for giving me that choice. And thank you for enabling me to choose right. Why not just talk to him? Say, Lord, I thank you for giving me the choice to choose between good and evil. And thank you for helping me to choose good over evil. So immediately I said yes to Jesus. My name was translated from the book of death. Though I was a good guy. Robinette. You see, there's nothing good about you. Except Jesus becomes the Lord of your life. Because the Bible says, every righteousness of man without Jesus is like a filthy rag. Hallelujah. So if you don't give your life to Jesus, and you do philanthropy, you give to St. Mary, you still give to Saint Bartholomew and all the saints in this world. You do good things. You send everybody to college. You build church, but you are not the church. No matter what you do, no matter the goodness of your heart, the kindness of your heart, if your name does not pop up in the heavenly database, you ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. So it is very important. That's why Jesus emphasized, ye must. There's no argument about it. There's nothing to debate about it. Just like you couldn't debate who your father will be and who your mother will be. You cannot debate whether Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Just like you didn't know how you just came. You just know that you came. The one that knew how you came also knows how you will come back. If he chose that you will come through your mother, why can't he choose that you will also come back through his son? If he has the sole right to determine that your mother will give back to you, why will you now deny him the inalienable right to determine how you will go back to him. If he was right with your mother, why won't he be right with Jesus? Can I preach in this church? There's therefore no argument about it. There's no argument about it. So for those of you that are playing church, for how long will you deceive yourself? You play church so much you became ordained in your play. You play church so much you even become a pastor. For how long will you play the game of life and the game of religion? When will you say, I say yes, oh yes, to your will and to your ways. I say yes, oh yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, oh, with my whole heart, I'll agree. Oh, and my answer will be yes. Oh, yes. You come to church, you enjoy it. But guess what? You yourself know that you are not born again. For how long will you live in self-deception? Go back to that scripture. I'm loving it. Verse 3. Verse 3. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Let's read again. 1, 2, go. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What's the difference between verse 3 and verse 5? The Pharisees believed that being born again or being born physically meant being born of water. As far as they are concerned, the fact that they are Jews have simultaneously satisfied the two conditions. That is, they have been born naturally by water, and because they are Jews, they have also been born spiritually. So when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he was talking from the perspective of understanding of the psyche of an average Jewish man. An average Jewish man has a superiority complex when it comes to the matters of God. A lot of the people that you call Jews today don't believe that Jesus is Lord. We have to preach to them as we preach to the Gentiles, that Jesus is the Lord. That if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why don't they believe? Because of the sin of familiarity. They know the story of Jesus. They know the story of Mary. They can point to the Father's house of Jesus. When you get too familiar with something that is important, you commonize the significant. Hallelujah. You commonize what is significant. So, they know Jesus. They know the story of Mary, how Mary suddenly got pregnant. Many of them still believe that there was a secret affair. Up to today, they didn't believe that there was a conception by the Holy Ghost. So, as far as they are concerned, Jesus is not enough reason for them to be born again. Because, by virtue of being Jews, they have been born both of the water and of the Spirit. And Jesus had to separate it and say, no, it's different. Your biological birth does not determine your spiritual birth. There is a process to this, and the choice must come from you. Nicodemus believed like the other Jews, that because he was born a Jew and kept God's ordinances, kept the Ten Commandments, he should automatically enter into the kingdom of God. On the other hand, Jesus explained that this is not enough. Our Lord Jesus Christ interprets the water as the flesh, a physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must go through the process of the new birth. You have no chance to mature in the things of God. That's why a lot of people are struggling and they're in church. Why? Because they are being spiritually born is still questionable. Because they have been coming to church and because their father gave them a Christian name, they just believe that they have been born both of the water and of the spirit. So when it comes to the real battles of the Christian faith, where the scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They don't understand. Why? Because they were never born again, but they have been in church. So when a little battle of life comes, they run away. Why? Because they are dealing with spiritual battles, but they are not spiritually born. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I'm going to talk about carnality next Sunday. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination, and bringing down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You can't know this if you are not born again. Don't let us deceive ourselves that because we want to fill our church and we are filling church with people that are not born again and they come to church and they still want to struggle to become HOD in a spiritual house. They want to bring carnal endowment to fulfill a spiritual assignment. And when Pastor Ojo turns them down, Pastor is a bad man. We have been with him since the days of John the Baptist. And yet, he has not deemed me fit to ordain us as a deacon. You are not born again. This church is quiet. How many people still love Pastor? You still love Pastor? Though it's a struggle, but you are still loving him. Yes, yes, yes. You are still thinking about it. Sister Joy is thinking about whether to love me or not. Somebody shout hallelujah. As if she has a choice. Hallelujah. The new birth that we are talking about, and I want you to pay attention, because this is the most important message of your life. Because if you are not born again, you're just wasting time. You're not different from the folks out there. Why will you invest your time and your life? And yet you are not getting it right. The spirit, the new birth ushers you into the spirit and into the community of believers, the commonwealth of faith. The new birth ushers you into eternal life. It guarantees eternity in life. When a man that is not born again dies, he is deader than dead. He has died and he is not going anywhere but where his colleagues are. But when a spiritually born again man dies, the story of his life does not end with death. It's only that a chapter has closed, but another more glorious chapter is about to. But when you die, make sure you don't die without accepting Christ. Because if you do, your offering to the building fund will not count. You will not be redeemed from the curse of the law because you pay offering in church. Oh my God. If you die without being born again, the fact that you come here at 7 a.m. to clean the church does not count. Oh my God. All the things you think you can use to bribe God to enter the narrow way will not count. The only thing that will count is whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And guess what? The people writing the names don't take bribe. They don't take bribe. Oh my God. They don't. The fact that you speak my language does not count. They are not tribalists. Reverend Robin, it does not matter whether you are a Redeemer or you are an Anglican. What matters is that your name is written. Your church affiliation does not count. Oh my God. My God. It doesn't matter. Because all the things you are counting as good works, the Bible equates all of them. Oh my God. Why? Because you are riding on the righteousness of you who need no sin. The Bible regards all those good things as filled their hearts. You only having an entry into God's reckoning because he was wounded. Oh my God. For your transgressions. And it was bruised for your iniquity. And the chastisement of your peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, you are healed. It's not of him that willeth. Neither is he of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The only reason why you will make heaven is not because you are a good man, but you submit to a good God. Ever since you have been born again, you too, you can remember the things you have done that are not good. So that means your good works, even after being born again, they are not enough to guarantee you. But he who knew no sin, he became sin, so that you and I will become the righteousness of God. You, O Jesus, if not him, you of all men will have been miserable. You will not have just suffered for your sins. You will have suffered for the sin of your forefathers. Because he's a jealous God. But your sins, the ones you have committed, the ones you are committing, and the ones you are yet to commit, he bought you out of the slave market with a price. His precious blood. And he said, stay there. So that I can use you to be the reason why others will come to the understanding of what you know. That's why I'm preaching to you today. You must be born again. But Pastor, how do I know? The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that indeed we are the sons of God. If there is no witness in your spirit that you are born again, don't play games. If you are too shy because you have been made HOD, come to me Nicodemusly at night. Somebody shout hallelujah. I say somebody shout hallelujah. And I will lead you in a sinner's prayer. Oh my God. How can a believer progress from this new birth? Now we are moving from there. Spiritual development. To walking in the spirit. Just as it is impossible for a naturally newborn baby to begin walking immediately he's born, it is also not possible for a newly born again Christian to start walking in the spirit instantly. Oh my God. Both the newborn babe and the newly born Christian They go through a process of transiting from one level to the next. There are two steps to walking in the spirit. Listen to me, church, and listen with your spirit, man. The first step is to allow your limbs to grow. Tell your neighbor your limbs must grow. And it is after your limbs have grown that you can start walking. Like natural babes. If a 1 month old baby starts running, you will bring the baby for deliverance. Why? Because it is not naturally designed. My God. For a 1 month baby to start running. So you will call Pastor Ojo, Pastor, I need your anointing right now. Because that baby that you name is now starting to behave like Mami Water. Somebody shout hallelujah. It is the same thing. When I gave my life to Christ, September 1991, I still slept with my girlfriend 5 times. Look at Paul looking at me as if he didn't do all those things. Somebody shout hallelujah. Mommy, I'm just telling you the truth. I gave my life to Christ. I answered the altar call. And I got baptized in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues at Lateran Assembly in September 1991. After then, I still counted 5 times. But the difference between the sleeping pre-salvation and the sleeping post-salvation is inner condemnation. Pre-salvation is a normal life to sleep with a girlfriend. What do unbelievers going to hell do anyway? They sleep with girls that have not been given to them as wives. That's one of the ways we know that you are going to hell. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people still love me? Hallelujah. Because the way people are looking at me, say, Pastor Akilode, I'm just telling you the truth. One of the ways you will know you are going to hell is if you have a wife and you're still having a girlfriend and you're sleeping, you are going to hell. It's called adultery. The parents of a girl have not given you a wife. Because you are driving one auction car, you sweet talk the girl. Somebody shout hallelujah. You sweet talk the girl and you lure her and you are sleeping with her. Both you and the one that is being slept with, they are expecting you. Your room is reserved in hell. Somebody shout hallelujah. So what was the difference, man? By the time I gave my life to Christ, genuinely, I knew I was born again. But guess what? I slept. I now felt terrible. The things we say and do after the thing, I couldn't say and do those things again. And my girlfriend was wondering, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I'm just feeling guilty that I'm doing something wrong. He said, you have been doing something wrong, girl, for a long time. You better keep doing it. The following week, she reported for duty. I did the same thing. And every morning, I will still pray in tongues. So that's why you need to be careful. Your tongue is not synonymous to growth. It's not synonymous to growth. Don't deceive yourself. Some people will speak in tongues into hell. So by the time I started doing that, there was a guilt in me to and a burden to pray for help. And I cried to God. I said, I don't want to die. And God, what did God do? God said, go back to church and speak to your mentors what you are passing through. He said, go and explain to them what you are passing through. Hallelujah. Larry, take charge of that situation. Amen. I did not know I needed to report myself to anyone. Preservation. Because it was a normal life that young men live. If you're a young man and you're not born again, what else will you do? You know what happened? I went to church. And I went to meet my pastor. And pastor laughed. And he said, yes, you are welcome to the journey of salvation. He said, if you did not fall after you confess Christ, then I begin to doubt your salvation. Why? Because the enemy will marshal all forces of hell. It will marshal all the forces of hell against your confession. And it will make your confession sound stupid. That was what I was going through. But I did not have knowledge. And a lot of people in church are going through these things. Rather than us resuscitate and rehabilitate them, we are condemning them and they are going back to where they are coming from. But I had good mentors and good pastors. They said, don't worry, you are welcome. And they now told me what to do. The next time the girl showed up, she looked like a man. I said, what are you doing here, sir? He said, sir, God made sure that our beauty that was luring me to Delilah's lap was removed. Everyone will see her beautiful, but I was seeing her like a man. I said, you are welcome, sir. He said, sir. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Olu baby. Oh, things have passed away. Now I can say I'm born again. Mother na come, Kara. That's who I am. Oh, I'm a new creation. Oh, I'm a brand new. Are you a brand new man? I'm a new creation. Oh my God. I'm a brand new man. Are you a brand new man? All things have passed away. Now I can say I am born again. Oh, mother, the conqueror. First Peter chapter 2. I'm loving this message. It's a message of a lifetime. We need to go over and over in church. Because a lot of people are living in deception. First Peter chapter 2, from verse 1 to 2. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. All malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Verse 2. As newborn babes desire. Why the sincere milk of the world? A natural baby starts taking milk in order to grow the members of his body. So likewise, the newly born again Christian also requires the milk, but now a different milk. The Bible calls that meek, be sincere. So that means there are insincere species of milk all over the place. Black Friday, you better be able to discern the milk that you are sucking. That's why the Bible says sincere. There are many people that will tell you, once born again, forever born again. Whatever you want to do, do. You are under grace. That milk is insincere. The sincere milk will tell you, shall we continue in sin that grace may abide? And that's the sincere milk. Said, as newborn babes, Olu Bibi, desire the sincere milk of the word. That's one of the scriptures my pastor told me when I came back from the scene of fornication. He said, how much of the sincere milk do you have? I said, which one is sincere milk? The only milk I know is carnation. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, which one is carnation? He said, that's why you went back to that girl 5 times. You are so empty. You only speak in tongue. And you are speaking in tongue to her. Thank God you didn't die. So why do you have to desire the sincere milk? So that we be able to grow thereby. So that your limbs, your spiritual limbs, will grow. I'm loving this scripture. The Christian also requires the milk of the word to grow spiritually. The natural babe cannot walk except the limbs start to grow. So likewise, the new believer cannot start to walk until his spiritual limbs begin to develop as a result of nourishment through the word. The milk will strengthen the limbs. However, over time, you need to leave milk. Why? Because spiritual skills are now needed not to fall as you attempt to walk. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, I love this Bible. From verse 11 to 14. Now, I've been taking milk. Taking milk. Can you imagine me bringing feed the bottle for Debbie, who just turned 18? And as I'm preaching, Debbie say, yeah, yeah. And they are now calling Debbie's mom. You need to go to the children's church for an 18-year-old. And my wife will go there. Hey, okay, mom, you duck. And it's now giving Debbie milk. And she be motivated. And even back came on. Somebody shout hallelujah. Reverend Robin, receive understanding in Jesus' name. Can you imagine me doing that to Debbie? That is what is happening to you when we are talking to you about paying tithe. You are 18 and you are still drinking milk. Oh, the church is so quiet. Pastor, you have touched a dangerous thing. Hello, if by now I'm still telling you about tithe, you are a milk drinker. Because your mates are actually giving you 80%. And the 20% is more than enough for them. How many people still love this pastor? Emmanuel, raise your hand. You love me. I know you are trying, but I know you love me. I know you love this man. So you now have to go to Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 11 to 14. Put it on the screen. And on that note, I will try to close. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read together, 1, 2, go. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. See, ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, you still have need, oh my God, that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have become such as you need the meek again and not of strong meat. Let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, go. For everyone that useth meek is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat to interpret this scripture. Sorry, church leadership, I'm going to take 5 minutes of your time because I can't stop at this moment. I cannot. Go back to that scripture, but give me the NLT, my wife's version. Now my food will be good. Okay. Let's read verse 14 together. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference. So, Sister Joy, you know what happened when I was doing all those sleeping nonsense? I did not have the skill to know the difference between wrong and right. So, growth, Dickie Mike, it's a function of spiritual skills, not church attendance. Only Robbie, you can sleep in this church. I can give you the key. It doesn't mean you will grow. It is your one-on-one relationship with the one that you don't see. It's the intensity of your fellowship with the Holy Spirit that will determine whether you are eating meat or you are drinking. Let's read that verse 14 again. 1, 2, go. Oh, I love it. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right. Go to NIV, the same scripture. NIV. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good. Go to English Standard Version. The same scripture. How many of us that the pastor is teaching today? ESV. You better have ESV. English Standard Version. Who has it in the church? Dickie Mike will have it. There's no way Dickie Mike will have it. We know the things Dickie Mike will have. ESV. Okay. Grab the mic. Give the mic to my wife and let her read. Hallelujah. Make sure you get ESV into that system by fire, by force.
ESV. But solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
So, Christina, you cannot just read the Bible because it's a Sunday morning. You're not going to be well trained. When you were writing your exam in school, did you read only once a week? Because you wanted to be trained in a professional skill. Two missions did not need to wake you up. You woke up by yourself. You need to be self-motivated to do the same thing with the Bible. What does this scripture mean? Again, when a child is very young, he can only consume milk. Foods with more substances are beyond him. He can only process something specifically meant for infants. In the same way, those who are spiritually immature can only deal with simpler spiritual matters. This is not bad. They are not evil. When a person is a new convert, he can't undo so much. However, if a person remains in this state of spiritual infancy, when he should have grown enough to handle more solid spiritual food, they only have themselves to blame. Just as a child has to be trained to grow beyond milk to eating solid food, so too must a Christian's spiritual maturity grow through effort and experience. Through what? Effort and experience. It's not just the Holy Ghost, you must partner with him. Spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age. Since it's possible to remain an immature Christian for a long, long time. Rather, maturity involves developing the ability to put our faith to practical use. Maturity requires that a person learn to use our greatest spiritual tool, the Word of God, in order to aid our discernment. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This time, the KJV. KJV. Let's read together, 1, 2, go. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The end result, according to this verse, is a person who can distinguish between good and evil. This is about more than just moral dilemmas. It is also a reference to knowing the difference between truthful, godly teaching and worldly, false faith. So from the above, we can safely conclude four things about spiritual growth. Number one, only the mature Christian can take solid food or strong meat. If a babe tries it, he will choke. Number two, there must be constant or regular use of strong food or strong meat for the training of the human senses to know or discern between good and evil. Number three, it takes spiritual skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Note, the food or meat does not cause discernment, but rather, the food or the meat trains your senses to discern. Hallelujah. Note, I repeat, the food or meat does not cause discernment, but rather it trains the senses to discern when it is regularly consumed. By the grace of God, if the rapture does not come by next week Sunday, and if God determines that I will still be on this surface heart, we are going to look at part 3. We are going to look at what is life and what is death, according to Romans chapter 12.
I am unto my feet and a light unto my bed.
We hope that you were blessed by this message. Log on to www.solidrockphoenix.org to listen to other life transforming messages by Pastor Dr. Leke Ojo and other anointed men and women of God. For inquiries, prayers, or counseling needs, please email us at admin@solidrockphoenix.org or call us at 623-842-1883. Worship with us on Sundays for a live transforming service at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 5955 West Myrtle Avenue, Glendale, Arizona, 85301. God bless you.